Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Strengthening Lives with Love podcast, brought to you by the Joshua York Legacy Foundation. If this is your first time tuning in with us, this podcast is dedicated to increasing suicide awareness and prevention through outreach, education, and improving mental health care accessibility. If you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, please visit our website at joshuayorkfoundation.org/beourguest, and let's see how we can make that happen. Hosting today's podcast is myself, Josh Creshan, and Candace York, who is actually Joshua York's older sister. So on today's podcasts, we do have a special guest with us here today, Joshua Spears, who is a motivational speaker and author on a mission to help people live life as their best selves with passion and purpose. One of the biggest issues that drove Joshua to become a speaker is mental health awareness and suicide prevention. He has a passion for helping people realize that they are not alone. He helps people who are hurting to see that help is all around them, as well as sharing with others that we can all be a part of the solution. So thanks so much for being with us, Josh. Welcome.
Hey, well, Josh, Candace, thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it. Yeah, my name is Joshua Spears. As Josh said, I go around and I do motivational programs with a strong focus on mental health awareness. It's a topic I'm very passionate about because I've had a history of in the past many years ago where I had some challenges in that area. And I just feel like very strongly that somebody needs to, you know, help out in this area. And this is something that I definitely don't claim to be the solution, but I feel like we all play our own role. And I just have a lot of fun helping people in this area because it's something that's that I'm so passionate about. So it's been a real exciting journey. And the more I do it, the more fulfilling it is. And I appreciate what you guys do with your organization and all the hard work and effort you guys are doing for mental health awareness and suicide prevention. And I'm glad to be a part of your show and work with your organization.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that, Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
So one of the cool things is Josh actually came down February. So February of 2018, we actually brought Josh into the White Marsh, Maryland area and traveled around and talked to a whole bunch of schools. Tell the listeners what you did for that, Josh, because I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, I mean, that's my program that I do I do community events, adults and students. Obviously you tailor it to the different audiences, but oftentimes when I come in, it's an organization like the Joshua York Legacy Foundation that has me come in. And the main objective during that program isn't to have all of the students say, oh, maybe someday I'll be like that guy. The goal is for them to say, you know, he's just like me and I can relate to that. And if he went through that and I feel like I'm going through it, then I can get through it. That's the first thing. And then the other one is through engaging stories and role playing and stuff like that, talking about a very difficult and challenging topic in a way that tries to reduce the stigma around mental health awareness and depression and all these things that we are afraid to talk about, and helping young people and old people alike see that they're not alone. They're not by themselves. And the people who aren't hurting, that's a lot about what happens in those events. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. You guys had some really big crowds. I think we were in front of about 5,000 students in 4 days. That was pretty
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That was amazing, Josh. So why do you do what you do? I mean, I know that in my experience, having met you, you do an awesome job at what you do, but, why do you do it?
You know, it's an interesting question, Candace, because I think the thing is we all have different drivers in our lives, right? I mean, sometimes people lose someone to suicide, and sometimes they know someone who lost someone, you know, and some of us go into it for other reasons. But for me, I remember the dark seasons. I do. I remember them. And I remember how I felt, and I remember how difficult it was. And then I remember when the lights came on, and I remember finding some of these ideas that I share with people. And
yeah,
you know, we all have a different thing that helps us. Some cases it's medical, some cases it's therapy, some cases it's us doing things. But I remember that shift, that change where it's like, man, And I was so excited about it. And then I got going on into my life and doing a lot of different things with my career. And I started to feel like all the stuff I went through had to be more than just for me. I felt like I was being selfish by not doing it, if that makes sense. I know mm-hmm. that sounds like, you know, maybe it doesn't make sense because I'm like a speaker in front of people and all that stuff, but it really is something that I feel like I have to do because someone has to do it. And I'm the person that has to do it. Now that's not saying I'm the best in the world. I'm just saying that's what drives me is like, there's a hurting world out there.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to help them. And in some many cases I get to be somebody.
Like your purpose.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's not just about me being the purpose either, you know, just like your organization and all the amazing volunteers you have for all your awesome events that you guys do, you guys are making a difference. And I just play my role in my area and my space of it. But, and it's also when I talk to audiences, it's not just the kids that are hurting or the people that are hurting. It's the people that are a part of helping those people and making them feel like they can talk about it. And honestly, it's just something I feel like I have to do, if that makes sense. That's why I do it, because I feel like it's something I'm built for. So I do it.
Well, thanks for doing it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So at these talks, so I was able to attend one of them. It was actually the last one on your tour when you were up here. And so I kind of gathered a little bit there. Mm-hmm. But you know, being that I was also quote unquote working the event too, I didn't get to focus in too much, but tell us, some of the types of things that you talk about during I remember your book bag, thing. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the thing is I think that for me, I try to, you know, have a lot of, you know, even since I was in Baltimore, I've done about 45, 50 speeches since then. So it's always growing. It's always changing. But I think the thing is I try to make it very simple and bring it into buckets. So I talk to people about the idea that you can change your life in a moment when you realize something or hear something. You hear a thought, that's the name of my when something happens to you, you hear something and it changes you, that moment where it clicks. And I feel like those ideas and those transformations happen when we reshape how we see three specific things: ourself, the people around us, and our future and our purpose. And those, that's like the outline of what I talk about. And to do it in a way that is engaging for a large audience, especially young people, I have to do a lot of different things. Like, for example, one point I pretend that I'm a marathon coach and I'm 300 pounds and 6'5", and there's no way I'm a marathon coach, but I use that as an example and say, you should eat Little Debbie's and all these different things. And the kids, everyone just laughs. And it's funny because I'm not a marathon coach. But the idea is we hear things about ourselves in our own minds. As we're watching that movie in our minds, we see things and experience things that just simply aren't true. And so it's really, it unpacks a lot of those ideas and trying to lead them down a trail and ultimately to help them realize that growing up is challenging. It's difficult and there's going to be times, but ultimately, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, you're never alone. And that's what I really lean hard on these kind of talks, is helping people feel the love in the room for them, because there is.
Yeah. Why are you so passionate about mental health?
Well, you know, I grew up, I'm sure you know a lot of the different types of research, whether it's ACEs scores or people that have gone through different types of trauma, whether it be domestic violence or growing up in homes with substance abuse or being bullied, or, you know, and as we all know, with, you know, the military background, people who, and you know, paramedics and firefighters, people who experience a lot of trauma, you know, they're prone to have some of these challenges. Not saying that everybody is, but they're issues. And as a young person, I had a lot of challenges. I grew up in an abusive home. I was expelled from a bunch of schools. I was diagnosed, you know, emotionally impaired, and I had a lot of difficult times. And it really put me in a really tough spot. And I was just very fortunate that I had a lot of people in my life. And that's one thing I love about what you guys are doing, is you guys are creating a movement and you're creating a culture around talking about it and making, people feel that love that's there for them. Cause there was a time in my life, Candace and Josh, where I didn't feel like anybody cared.
Do you feel like that was a daily struggle at times?
Absolutely. There was a season of my life where, and I'm being very candid here because authenticity is, that's just who I am. But there was a season of my life where I would wish I wouldn't wake up. And I thought about, you know, doing wow. stuff to myself and, mm-hmm. and now that was kind of a thing, you know, with me is, you know, I just felt like there was no hope anywhere, you know, and that's when someone's struggling with something, they're going through something, you know, like I said before, sometimes it's decisions they're making, sometimes it's medical, sometimes it's situational, but I know that feeling. And it's like, no matter what I did, no matter who I talked to, it just didn't go away. Mm-hmm. And then when I come in my house and I see my wife and my kids and I'm having my other job that I had before I did this full time, I felt guilty because I thought there's people out there who are still in that spot. I have to go back and try to help them.
It's crazy how, like, because you said that you grew up going through some stuff that kind of mm-hmm. put you into a dark spot. And it's crazy because, like, so often when that happens, I mean, you hear about it all the time where, like, there's not always signs, right? Like mm-hmm. other people on the outside very often don't even know. Do you think when you were going through that, do you think people on the outside knew?
Yeah, I think in my case, you know, I've always been an all or nothing kind of guy. So for me, there was a lot of people who were trying to help me. There was definitely a lot of people who would see signs, you know, and I verbalized a lot of my trauma, you know, but you're absolutely right, Josh. You're absolutely right. There's a bunch of studies that show that a lot of suicides, there is no significant warning sign that the average person would pick up on. So I think the thing when it comes to mental health awareness and, you know, suicide prevention, I was being interviewed for an article recently up here in Michigan. It's a newspaper called the Farmington Press. And they were talking about, is the stigma gone? Mm-hmm. around mental health. And I said, well, let's look at the numbers. Okay. So the numbers are going up. The stigma is obviously not gone. So that the whole idea is that you guys are out there working, we're working more now than ever to fix the issue. But to your point, Josh, is you can't always see what's going on in people's lives. You can't see what's going on in their minds. And I think that's where we have to continue to make this cultural shift through education, through outreach, all the stuff that you guys are doing with the suicide prevention rocks and all your events that you're doing, because, you know, the fact is it's not like someone's going to have a flag around they're going to have a flag in the air that says, hey, I'm having, you know, ideations of suicide. You know what I'm saying? It's not always going to be like that. So that's right. We have to make people feel comfortable. I was talking to a guy yesterday and he was talking to me about his challenges with mental health and depression. And he was telling me that he was taking some stuff for his, and this is a good, you know, a guy we all look at and admire. We would all look at him and admire him. And he was telling me how he's on medication and this, and because of what I do, he told me that. But the interesting thing about it is he said that he's told less than 5 people in his whole life that he's been on this medication for years.
Wow.
I find that to be problematic, that this guy, right. he's a good guy. He's got a family, a good job. He's a good guy, right? And he's going through this and he's taking this medication that's helping him, but he feels so stigmatized by it that I'm in the top 5 of people he talked to about it. The only reason he mentioned to me about it because he knows what about my past because of my book and life speaking and all that stuff.
Right.
I think that is kind of a clue of what is really going on out there. And that's why, like I said, I commend what you guys are doing. And I feel like it's important because, you know, it's the water's a lot deeper than it looks is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's exactly that. It's a stigma that it's like, okay, I don't want to talk about this either because A, I'm embarrassed. B, I, you know, like it's frowned upon. Like, I mean, I'll give you a great example. You know, I did 5.5 years in the Marines. And when I was mm-hmm. in the Marines, it's like, when it comes to mental health related stuff, like you're not going to go to your buddy and say, oh, that hurt my feelings, or, oh, I'm having a hard time with this or this or this. It's not that frowned upon, but it's like one of those, oh, toughen up, champ, like, yeah. Oh, be, man up. Don't be like that. And it's stupid. And it's honestly, it's one of those things. I mean, you look at it just a couple of months back, the Air Force ended up putting out a big memo with a huge stand down for mental health, because the services in general are seeing an increase in suicides. Mm-hmm. And it's like, nobody's talking about it. Nobody wants to be the person to bring it up, but yet it's happening, and it's happening more and more every day. And it's mm-hmm. because those people aren't talking about it. And it's funny, because especially in politics and everything else nowadays, everybody, it's like the, on the political agenda of everyone who's running for office is like, oh, mental health, suicide prevention. And you've got politicians out there, you know, talking about it until they can't talk no more. But it's like, what are they really doing? And it's, you know, it's mm-hmm. one of those things where it's by disempowering the stigma. And that's exactly what we try to do as a foundation, right? Is disempower the stigma, like talk about it. Like,
yeah, I think I don't one care. Personal example, like the strongest that I can think of right now, is when I was having my own issues with depression, is it actually took me a year to like fully admit it to people. Mm-hmm. Like, people may have picked up on signs, but for me to actually say it and want to do something about it took me a year. That's a long time.
Yeah.
A really long time.
If you look at it, I was talking to someone the other day who is in the addiction space, mm-hmm. who helps people get over addictions and stuff like that. And the whole mental health aspect came up, and what you just said, Candace, kind of reminded me about it. It's, you know, you said it took you over a year to be able to talk about it. That's kind of what I was talking about with this person, where it's like, first is the phase of admitting it to yourself, right? So like, it could take years of convincing yourself, so to speak, that, hey, I have a problem. Hey, I need help with this. And then once you can admit it to yourself and you're sure of it yourself, mm-hmm. it's taking that next step. That's like, okay, took me a year, 3 years, 5 years, whatever, to admit it to myself. But now I have to be able to figure out, how am I going to admit it to someone else mm-hmm. who could potentially help me?
Right. And that's where you guys on your, on your Facebook group, that's so huge, and all that stuff, it bringing that awareness, because it's just like, you know, there's a lot of different speakers that do a lot of different things. And I'm sure you guys know there's the ones that do training and first aid, and those are all great. I mean, those are, it's a great important thing to train that stuff. But then there's mine, I guess I would say more like a testimonial style, you know, where you're talking about your situation. It's because that's where sometimes, you know, when you're going through something, just like you, Candace, you went through what you went through, and now look where you're at. You're on a podcast about mental health, talking about it. You're on helping lead a foundation and doing all those different things. And so you've taken that challenging season and you're using it to help other people. And I think that's where reducing the stigma is, not just helping those people realize that they're having those challenges, but when they see someone else talk about it, it'll help them identify it. So for example, if you had talked to somebody a month in, because you probably spent a lot of the year trying to fix your life, right? I need to make more money. I need to do better in school. I need to lose more weight. I need to get better clothes. I need to do this. I need to do all this stuff. I got to do this because I'm not doing something right, before you figured out what it was. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So when other people, like what you guys do, or in me and my role, is trying to speed up that curve, so people, it clicks quicker. Like, that's what it is. That's my problem. That aha moment. Like Josh said, you know, once you identify it, then it's out, then, okay, now I have this issue. I need to fix it. But that time in between is the scariest, because we don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure out, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong? You know what I'm saying? That's how I was. I was trying to fix my life, and I couldn't. No matter what I did, I could not fix it.
That's such a strong point. Like you said, you were trying to fix your life. So
yeah,
and that's so. It's like it, and that's the stigma, literally, right there. Like when it comes to mental health, it's like, because it's so stigmatized, because it's quote unquote embarrassing or not manly or whatever to talk about it. It leads people to that dark hole of, I need to fix this myself. How can I do this myself? Then they spend 3 years being depressed. And then, you know what I mean? Like, instead of just being able to talk about it.
Yeah.
And
but it's not like a flat tire. You know what I mean? Like a flat tire, you know, you have a flat tire on your car. You know what I'm saying? And you stop and you fix it because you know it's very obvious. But if you have something
and you know there's a way to fix it, you know.
Yeah, you know there's a way to fix it. But if your car is just acting funny and it's sputtering and you have no idea what it is, it's down in the engine. You're like, what's going on? And I know that's a very simple analogy, but it's not as apparent. You know, like we go through certain things, and I run into so many people who are going through different things. And that year, Candace, isn't because that's a perfect example that you brought up, and Josh as well, is this identifying. Mm-hmm. And that's why reducing the stigma, talking about it. Getting more people talking about it helps people identify it faster. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So.
Yeah, I think in that year I was like, oh, maybe if I just smile a little harder.
Right.
It's one of those fake it till you make it kind of things, honestly, because it's like, okay, I've self-identified it. Like, I know that I need help with something. Now let me try to fake it. And I mean, you see it all the time. Like we're working to actually have her on the podcast in the future, but there was a video that a lady had put together and sent over to us. And it's like, she's telling her story of when, you know, she woke up one day and didn't want to be here. Uh-huh. And, but like she shows, you know, the social media posts and stuff that were made leading up to that. And, you know, she's out, don't quote me on this, but like, you know, playing with the dogs or like out on an adventure with friends, smiling on a, mm-hmm. on a beach, like all these things. And it's like, okay, what, where, like from the outside mind, it's like, where did it go wrong? Like it's because people hide it under this veil because it's like the thought of, oh, I can handle this. I can fix this myself. Like you don't have to, like there's organizations out there that are there for that. And like, I get mm-hmm. that it's embarrassing sometimes, or like, mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to talk about. I get that. But that's, you know, that's why there's organizations out there to help. And it's great because there's organizations out there where you can get help. And for like, great example with the military, like you can get help from different organizations and they won't tell your chain of command kind of stuff. Like, I mean, that's all confidential. Like,
yeah,
you can get help. There's help out there. Yeah.
Well, sometimes I think maybe we I do the same thing, because I told you before about me trying to fix my life, and you know, we've all had our own challenges, but sometimes we misalign what really takes courage. You know, I mean, like, I'm going to fix it myself comes from a good place. I'm going to fix my life. I got to fix my life. I get that. I respect that. I own it. I'm responsible. That's how we're taught as adults to be, right?
Right.
And I'm going to handle this. And that's a courageous thing to do. And that's the strong thing to do. But the fact is, friends, is if you're going through something like that, sometimes the courageous thing is to ask for help.
Right.
Because of the stigmas that are out there and all the pride and the fear of what are people going to say. But we have it twisted, you know, with sometimes when it comes to it, and you guys know, and I'm sure Josh with military background and Candace in your life, is when somebody comes to you and they're truly vulnerable, if you're that person being vulnerable, you think people are going to be afraid or not afraid. You think they're going to look down on you. But the fact is when I have people come to me, I respect them for being real with me. I respect them for being open and honest with me. But when someone is dealing with depression and those types of things, try to isolate us and make us feel all alone. And that in itself is a huge part of, you know, the stigma.
So yeah. Can I say something really quick?
Sure.
I saw something the other day. It said there's a difference between mental strength and mental health. So I think sometimes that isolation is us being strong for ourselves, but just like if you're working out, sometimes you get sore. I mean, you can't always do it alone.
Right. Right.
Right. I mean, think of it here's like a cheesy analogy, but it makes sense, at least in my mind. Like, you know, think of like a leaking pipe, like the whole, like, let me help myself thing, like a leaking pipe, say a pipe is leaking in your basement, and then that leak gets worse and then it gets worse and then it gets worse. Are you going to like burn your time and waste your time trying to fix it yourself or call the plumber? Right. So like when it comes to mental health, if you're dealing with mental health issues and it's just getting worse and worse and worse, it, you know, that's where mm-hmm. it needs to be okay, so to speak, to mm-hmm. to call the professional, call the plumber, mm-hmm. call you know,
be authentic, go talk with somebody, right?
Exactly, right? So like call a therapist or a counselor or something and talk to the person who's a professional in that field. Because you don't have to be a professional in everything.
Yeah, for sure. I think another thing too, Josh, I think, and Candace, it's really important to remember too, is there are certain things that we can all do. I think, you know, for me, I go through different seasons in my life, even as a speaker, sometimes that are very challenging, but I have a few routines in place that help me pick up on when I'm going the wrong direction. You know what I'm saying? Like, for example, pretty much every day I journal, you know, and I journal and it's like, wait a minute, what's this coming from? This doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, so if you're having like a tough time, if someone's listening to this show and you're having a tough time, just start journaling some of those thoughts and read them back and try to pretend that you're not reading your own words and see how accurate what you're seeing is. You know what I mean? And what I find most of the time is I'm able to get myself some clues. And then also, you know, Josh, your organization, you and Candace, your organization with Bill there have a whole bunch of things going on. Is you can get involved and get help having systems in place, people that you talk to, people that you're comfortable with, find somebody that you can be authentic with, someone that you can say, you know what, life kind of sucks for me right now, and not feel like you're whining because they're doing the same thing for you. You see what I'm saying? Like there's certain things that we can do in our life to help us, because I still have challenging seasons too. I think we all do, but they're not near as bad because after you go through it, you start to, okay, so I need to do certain things to kind of keep an eye out on where I'm at with myself.
I like that you said journaling, because I might start doing that, because I don't know, it was probably 2 weeks ago. I was writing somebody and it was either an email or a text, but I started writing and writing and writing and I realized, what am I talking about? This has gone on way too long. I obviously need to get something out.
Yeah.
But then having someone to talk to about it, not just.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is too, is a lot of times we have our own answers too. You know, I mean, like if someone is going through something and they start writing about how much their life, this or that, and they're having all these challenges, and I've done that. Even in December, I had some things I was going through and I was journaling, and I went back and I was reading what I was writing, and I'm just like, wait a minute. It was like, I gave myself that counseling. And I'm not suggesting that we don't reach out to others. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just simply saying that that is a good way of, like you said, with your letter, you can flush that stuff out a little bit.
Yeah.
That's a good way also of, like, for example, like say you're just coming to terms with something yourself that, hey, I need help, or I'm struggling with this thing. Like that's a great way of like breaking the ice on the topic to yourself. Like you said, Josh,
sure.
Where it's like, okay, I've got it out in writing. It's out there. Great. And like, then you can go from there. It's like, all right, I got it out there. I know that I got this issue, and it kind of breaks that ice.
Yeah.
Cause it's not just bottled up in your head anymore. And seeing stuff written on paper, a lot of people are very visual in the manner that seeing it written out on paper, you know, go back, read over it.
Yeah.
It'll open your eyes.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Definitely. It's very therapeutic, and sometimes it's painful though, but ultimately, you know, and to your point, Josh, I mean, you get whatever, it, you know, it's just like with me, you know, when I do a speech, especially if it's to a new audience, I practice it, right? Because I want to make sure it's good. And I go through it several times. Sometimes when it comes to opening up, that journal can be kind of like your practice, you know, it's that safe place where you can be honest. You can talk to your friends and family all you want about and try to be honest, but you want to first practice being honest with yourself about how you really feel and what you're really going through. Not what you wish, how you wish you felt, or how you should feel, but how do you feel?
Right.
You know, and that's where journaling can help with that too. So
yeah,
that's just one of the several things.
That's a good point. I do
keep myself above, you know, where I need to be, but, and there's also the, you know, and I'll tell you and your audience this story. If you got a few more minutes, but so I was going through a little bit of a challenging space in December, and I was real tentative being a professional speaker to share it, but I was going through a season that I was really struggling. I wasn't suicidal. I was like really bummed out all the time, and I was having a really hard time, and I was journaling, I was doing all my normal things, and I was just really having a tough time for some reason I couldn't figure it out. Just like we said, I was trying to fix it. Okay, I'm gonna go to the gym more, but I was tired. And anyway, long story short is I was really having a tough time and I was really starting to question myself. And this is hard for me to admit. This is like a month and a half ago, right? And it didn't make sense to me because it came out of nowhere. And I'm like, this isn't right. I know this isn't true. I'm journaling. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. This isn't me. What's going on? Well, long story short, I'll try to shorten it up. I talked to somebody who was taking some medication for a medical condition and they were talking about the side effects of it. So then I started to look at my life and look at my, I was looking for a pattern in my own life. Like, when did this start happening to me? You know, I'm in the middle of doing all these speeches and struggling with this stuff. It doesn't make sense. So I did a little research and I started looking and about a month and a half before that, I had been prescribed some medication by my doctor for sleeping. And I immediately went online. I looked up the medication and I started looking at what was wrong, what the side effects were: depression, moodiness, muscle soreness, fatigue. And so I stopped taking it. And like 2 days later, I felt like my old self. Now I don't tell that whole story, you know, to say about my issues with my sleep or anything like that. But for me, as a person who tells the story from the decision making and all these different things, is there's that medical element to things. You know what I mean? Like, I was in a spot where I was taking something that was messing with my head and I didn't realize it. So how many people out there are taking a medication that's messing with their head and they don't realize it? And then again, on the flip side, how many people are in a really tough spot and medication could help?
Right. Something that's out of their control. Something else could help them, maybe.
Yeah. And again, I'm very tentative to tell that story because I'm being very vulnerable, but I will say I'm glad it happened, because for me, it was a great reminder that you can't always read books out of your mess. You can't always talk to good people out of your mess. Sometimes you need to say, you know what? I've done everything I can do and I got to get some help because this isn't right. So all that pain, it feels so real, and it is real. But sometimes it's based on a lie. It's not my life is broken. It's I'm taking this medication to help me sleep and it's messing with my head. Or I got a chemical imbalance in my brain and the doctor can help me with it. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's where it, for me, it was a great reminder of the medical element to all of this, not just decisions and good people in your life. There's so many different things with mental health. So.
That's such a good point. Like, so many people, I mean, up until, I don't know the exact statistic behind this, but I was reading an article that was talking about mental health and, you know, in the early 1900s and before, mental health was looked at as just that, a mental, you're broken mentally, so to speak. Nothing, you know, scientific or medically related. But then, you know, people began to realize that this is an actual illness. It is.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to be embarrassed or shy or ashamed of. But I say that to say that it's not, mental health isn't something, if you're dealing with something or you're going through mental health issues, it's not something that, it's not like being tired, right? Where you can just relax for the day and you're going to wake up great tomorrow. That's not how mental health works. Mental health, there's an underlying reason.
Yeah.
Whatever that reason is, there's an underlying reason that is leading to why you are feeling the way that you're feeling. There is science behind this. It's the biology of your brain. Mm-hmm. It's not just, I ate a bad piece of chicken or I didn't get enough sleep. It's mental health is an actual illness.
Which
is treatable with proper counseling and if necessary medication. But sorry, Candace, what were you saying on that?
No, that's just why we need to talk about it. And that's why, you know, we need to talk about it even more so that I feel like my number one goal would be that for me and everybody else, if you're going through a problem, know what is there to help you. Know that there is help, but know what it is. So, you know, so we talk about it more so that we can know what those solutions could be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think another thing too, is that when it comes to like, for if somebody's listening to this podcast and you're thinking about your difficult situation or what you're going through and you're wondering, where am I going to get the courage to talk about it? Maybe just take a moment and imagine, you know, your future. you know, and not the future that you think right now, but the future that you would imagine it could be.
Right.
You know, and that was one thing that led me, and I'm not trying to bring this all back to me, but that was one thing that led me to decide to do what I do. Is I came in with the house one day and I just heard about another suicide in my town, and I walked in from work and my wife and kids were there, and I went into my room by myself and I started thinking about the seasons where I almost took my own life and I wanted to do it. And then I walked back out my house and I saw my family and I thought, this would not be here if I would have done that. And so the life that we have ahead of us, sometimes we don't see the path to get there, but just remember that whatever you're going through, there's always an answer. There's always, it might be, like you said, Josh, it might be medical. It might be therapy. It might be, you know, different habits. It might be all these, each person when it comes to these things is different, but you got to find out what's your story, what you going through, because there is an answer to the question you're dealing with, whatever your question is, you know, whatever you're going through, there is a way through it.
Right. Right.
And there is a way through it, and suicide and cause people who commit suicide, you guys know this firsthand, is they're just trying to stop. They're in pain and they want the pain to stop. Right. Well, there is a cure for that pain. We just have to help people see it and find their own, because it's different for all of us.
Right. And that's a solid point. I mean, there is help out there. Just a quick pause real quick. To our listeners, if you're still listening, first off, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast and continuing to listen. If yourself or anyone that you know is in need of immediate help, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Their phone number is 1-800-273-8255, or text HOME, that's HOME, to the crisis text line at 741-741. We as a foundation, the Joshua York Legacy Foundation, has also partnered and works alongside the Pro Bono Counseling Project, which is a Maryland-based nonprofit counseling project. They have been in operation since 1991, and their focus is linking families, individuals, couples, and children with mental health care professionals in Maryland. So if you're in Maryland and you need assistance, they help people all across the state of Maryland. If you need assistance, you can get in touch with them by calling the Pro Bono Counseling Project at 410-825-1001. It's 410-825-1001. They put you through a short confidential phone interview, and then they're able to link you to a volunteer, a licensed counselor, or other resources that can help you. And this is pro bono work. So this, you know, they're there to help you. If you have low income, no income, whatever the issue, get through their process, give them a call. Their phones are answered Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And get help. That's the Maryland one. We have other resources that are popping up all the time. Follow our Facebook group, Suicide Prevention Rocks, or visit our website, www.joshuayorkfoundation.org. But again, if you or anyone you know is in need of immediate help, contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Again, their phone number is 1-800-273-8255. There is help out there. Call, reach out, and talk about it. So back to the podcast. So Josh, back to what you do. So what's the most rewarding? We've talked a lot about what you do and, you know, how people can get help and why they should get help and stuff. Bouncing back to what it is that you do, what's the most rewarding or difficult part about speaking to people on mental health?
Well, I say the most rewarding part is, you know, it's not like getting paid or anything like that. It's when you have people reach out to you many months after you've been in their school or at their community event or their mental health fair, and they reach out to you many months later and they tell you, you know, what your talk meant to them and how much they can relate, or those people who, you know, come up to you afterwards and they tell you how much it meant, not because you're a great speaker, not because you were funny, but because you helped them in a way to see themselves in a way they didn't know was possible. That's definitely the most rewarding. You have people reaching out to me from on social media or different ways you know, just seeing a little video, it's just very rewarding because it's definitely something that a certain element of who I am, as far as I'm not very good at like self-promotion and all. I'm listening to that. I'm doing it because I feel like I have a duty to do it. So when you hear that it's making a difference, definitely makes it really exciting. The most difficult part about this topic is you don't always see all of the fruit, you know. I mean, you don't really know, you know, you might talk to 5,000 students in 4 days, but you might not know all of the, and anytime you put a lot of work into something, you want to see results, right? So that's what's difficult sometimes, is you don't always know, like, okay, so how did it go? Well, and then the speeches you think went really well, they probably did, they went okay. But then there's some, you don't know how it went. I'm not sure. And then you hear how well it went. It's that's a part of this topic, you know, versus like, I do a lot of like leadership stuff and, you know, some corporate things and student leadership. And to me, I feel like this topic is why I became a speaker. And sometimes it's difficult to gauge if you're doing a good enough job or not. So that makes it hard sometimes, you know, because you want to save everybody. You want to get the message to everybody. And sometimes it makes it, you know, a challenge. But, you know, that's why you guys do what you do. I'm sure you know, the foundation that you guys have, I'm sure there's times too where you're like, what else can we do? You know, and it feels like
every day.
I have to remember, just like you guys do, that I can't do everything. I just have to, just like you tell a basketball player or a football player, just leave it all on the field and know you did your best. And that's all you can do, you know? So.
All right. I have kind of an interesting question. I don't know if you want to answer it. You do these speeches. You've probably spoken in front of, I don't know, a couple thousand people, right, Josh?
Yeah, I'd say in the last year, I'm about 20,000.
So if you knew that one of those people that you've spoken in front to were listening, what would you want to say to them?
That I've spoken to?
Yeah.
I would just say, if you've already heard me speak, I would just say, you know, no matter what you're going through, you know, I want you to know that there's somebody out there who cares for you. And if you can't see them right in front of you, they're not in your, you don't know exactly where they are. Just look again, because there's all kinds of people, you know, and, you know, the York family, Bill, you know, Dawn, Candace, and, you know, Josh, the foundation, that's a first place to look for if you, and their group online. I bring all that up because you guys, to me, do such a great job of making so many people see the love that's out there for them. So to someone who had seen me speak in the past, I would just say, you know, you're not alone. And if you don't feel alone, look around, because there's probably someone who does feel alone. And can you make them not feel alone? Can you find that student in your class or that coworker in the cubicle next to you and ask them about their day and give them 5 minutes of undivided attention and make them feel valued, and watch what that does to your relationships. Watch what that does to your friendships, your career. I mean, you know, you guys know long-term relationships, you know, spouses and stuff. I mean, making people feel valuable. So it's not just the people that are hurting, but it's also the people that are doing okay, so to speak, helping them see that the world that they're in, their sphere of influence they have, they can save people's lives without being a speaker or having a foundation, but just by being there and just by caring and just by letting people know that you care. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, that's great. That is great.
You know, the whole, you know, reaching out, I have phenomenal story of a conversation I was having the other day with a lady. This was just a couple of days ago. I was picking up some plants. I started getting into gardening and plants, like houseplants and stuff again, because it's like super therapeutic. And so I connected with this lady and I went and I picked up some plants from her. And while I was there, picking up the plants, we started talking about mental health and the foundation and whatnot. And she was telling me about a time where, you know, she was at work. This was over 20 or 30 years ago or something along those lines. She was at work and it was late and she was leaving the office late. you know, she walks to the copying machine to pick something off the copying machine, and she heard someone like coughing or talking or what have you, in an office that she passed on the way to the copying machine. It was one of her coworkers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she stopped and kind of did a glance. She was like, oh, you know, I didn't even realize that you were still here. It was pretty late, like 7 in the evening or something like that. She assumed everyone else had gone home. And the other person that she was talking to was there at the office late, because that person planned to leave the office that night and drive their vehicle off a cliff into a body of water. Mm. And that person was at the office because they were writing a letter to this lady that I was getting these plants from, writing a final letter to her. Mm-hmm. And just her stopping in and chatting with this person and talking to them and, you know, showing them that someone's there, mm-hmm. Saved that person's life that day. And
yeah,
she, you know, as I was talking to this lady getting the plants, like I had goosebumps over my whole body as we were talking. And this is just some random lady that I found on Facebook Marketplace because I was picking up some plants, but we still keep in touch and whatnot. But like, that was such a solid point that if she had not stopped in that office,
right,
on the way to that copying machine, that person was going to end their own life that night.
Right.
So it's not even if you know someone's dealing with someone with something, say something. Like if you have any suspicion or any smallest like thought that someone's dealing with someone, I mean, you should be reaching out to your friends and family all the time, but like, mm-hmm. especially if you can tell something just isn't right, mm-hmm. say something. You don't even necessarily have to say anything direct, but you know, at the foundation, we're all about talking about it, not sheltering or hiding anything. So, you know, mm-hmm. walk straight up to someone who you feel is going through some stuff and ask them, are you okay? Mm-hmm. It takes 3 words, and those 3 words could save someone's life. That's right. Exactly. You know, it happens all the time, but right. unfortunately it doesn't happen enough.
Right. No. And I love that, Josh. That's a really awesome story. And that, you know, I was telling you about my season in December that cut, it was only like a week and a half, but I ended up sharing with one of my really close friends what I went through. And then me sharing that 5-minute story, it opened a floodgate where this guy, I had no idea he was going through, you know what I'm saying? I had no idea he was going through anything, and he was having all of these difficult challenges. I think so. It really becomes like there's signs and stuff that, you know, you're talking about looking for, but ultimately like that lady going back to that office and talking to that person who was writing the letter, did it really, even if she wasn't depressed, would it, and if she wasn't having those challenges, did it really cost her much?
Right.
Doesn't that just make us better people anyway? You know, and so it's, yeah, I want to be trying to help people with that issue, but it's not like it costs you much, because you might meet a friend. You might, just by opening yourself up to others is,
right.
You know, it's hard to do, but that's kind of a double positive. It's a win-win, because you might help someone in a tough spot, and you also might, you know, help yourself through some stuff or get a good friend out of the deal. You know, you just never know who's going through what.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true.
Yep. So,
well, hey, Josh, thanks so much for hopping on this with us today. Sure. It's been a pleasure having you on. Is there any last words that you'd like to say to the listeners? Go ahead. And, before we close out, you're a motivational speaker. You write books and stuff. Tell how can they find your book? How can they, you know, mm-hmm. contact you to book you to come out and speak with them? How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah. Well, my website is joshuaspears.com. You can get the book on my website. There's a tab at the top that says the book. You can also get it on Amazon. The name of the book is Personal Revolution. And it's the subtitle is Break the Chains of Fear and Self-Doubt. And it's a book to try to help people work through some of these issues. And you know, the book's available, and you can also go to my website. And if you want to see a bunch of videos, there's all kinds of different videos of all the different types of talks that I do with a bunch of new one pagers that give all the information. And then there's the contact page on my website. And I will also say, Josh, you listed a bunch of amazing organizations, and of course there's Suicide Prevention Rock, what you guys do. But if you enter a spot, or if you have a question about what I do, or you want to have me come to your school, or if you're just having a really tough time, you know, if you just want someone to talk to, just shoot me an email and let's start a dialogue. Cause you know, speaking is what I do for a living, but I do a lot of stuff where I just help people. It's not like I'm trying to make a bunch of money off everybody. It's not, if you want to talk, let me know. I'll be that person if you need it. So, don't hesitate to reach out to me for anything.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. So again, it's joshuaspears.com. You can shoot him an email, joshua@joshuaspears.com. Again, thanks so much for being with us. I'll remind you, if you or anyone you know is in need of immediate help, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Their phone number is 1-800-273-8255. Or you can text HOME, that's H-O-M-E, to the crisis text line at 741-741. Thanks so much for being with us. Candace, any words?
No, I think that was amazing. Thank you guys both.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. It's a true honor, guys. I love what you guys do, and I'm happy to be a part of it in any way I can.
To everyone who's still listening, again, thank you so much for being with us. This podcast and the success of the podcast is going to depend greatly on you guys helping us to get the message out there, sharing it on all of your social platforms, like we said earlier, and tuning in every week. We aim to be on this every week with different guests. We'll be bringing people in from the industry as well as outside of the industry, talking about mental health and how it affects people across literally every industry and job and personality and place around the world. If you'd like to get involved or if you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, visit us on the web, joshuayorkfoundation.org/podcast, where you can fill out a short form, tell us why we should have you on the show, and then we can start that conversation on getting you on it. If you'd like to make a donation, that can be done on the website. Make sure, again, find us on Facebook, Joshua York Foundation, or our Facebook group, Suicide Prevention Rocks. Lastly, if you have any questions whatsoever, shoot us an email, info@joshuayorkfoundation.org. Again, thank you so much for being with us. Until next time, have a great day.